Do you believe in ghosts? Good morning, evening, or afternoon, wherever you are, whenever you are. This is Tyler here with another episode of Ghost Stories, the podcast. You may notice I sound a little different today. I'm in a bit of an echoey room, and the reason for that is, I'm testing some new audio equipment, and whilst the location's not ideal, I do have a special guest here with me. So will you introduce yourself, please?
My name's called Zachary Fox, and I'm Tyler's kid.
He is my kid. That's right. That's a great intro. And Zach is here with me today to have a listen to a few episodes. The most popular episodes of season 7, actually. So this is for our finale to this season. Finally saying bye to it. We've been working on it a very long time and thinking forward to season 8, which should be kicking off next week, as long as nothing goes too badly wrong. But before we get on to the first episode, we have the usual housekeeping to look at. So if you're a big fan of the podcast, you can make both mine and Zachary's day by clicking that subscribe button if you've not already. And if you have done that, thank you so much. You can also go and drop us a 5-star review, and those things, they really help us get more listeners and get more eyes on the podcast, because we know the algorithms like to see the podcasts that are popular with listeners and serve them to people who are searching. If you want to go the extra mile, though, we also have our Patreon page. So search for Ghost Stories, the podcast there, and you can either donate $1 or $5 a month, or those amounts in your local currency, and you'll get content both early and... We are also working on an exclusive content series, which is actually one of the reasons I bought this new equipment, because we'll be having guests calling in and we'll be talking about the origins and of certain episodes and just generally having a pretty good time. So we're going to see how that gets on. How's that sound, Zach?
Good.
Good? Is there anything you want to add?
I just want to say my favourite Spider-Man will break, and if any of you might know how it happened, then comment below if you know.
Comment below. What was your favorite thing?
I said, if any of you know how my ball broke, then comment below.
Did a ball break?
Yeah.
What did you break?
No, my ball.
Oh, your bottle. Oh, your bottle broke. I see. So, Zach, we're not on YouTube right now. There's no comment below, but I guess if people have an idea of how Zachary's bottle broke, which we're looking at a broken bottle right in front of us, you can come let us know on the Facebook page, I suppose. But yeah, so that's it for now. We're going to leave you to listen to the third most popular episode of season 7. And this one is... It's a good one. It's our Halloween special, Ding Dong, sent in by Nicole. And it's one of my favorites of the season, to be fair, as well. So stick around and listen to it, and we'll be back to discuss it in a bit more detail in a moment. I live in an area where talking about the spiritual world is frowned upon. Locals in the community do not seem to want to share the same views, and if you try to talk about ghostly experiences, they'd simply stop the conversation and walk away from you. It can get pretty lonely, you know. Now, one day I was driving home from running some errands and turned down the road heading towards my neighborhood. This is a road that I've driven on hundreds of times, and it goes past a local cemetery. Today I was passing it, and it appeared different than before. The speed limit on the road was always 25 miles per hour, but as I was driving and looked around, I noticed everything seemed to stop moving. It felt like I was in slow motion. Sounds seemed muted, and it was as if you're underwater. Your ears were clogged and sound was muffled. The music on the radio played out like a 33 record, slow and moaning. Birds were barely flapping their wings, and traffic was barely moving as well. I remember thinking while driving, what's happening? Why is everything slowed down? What? Am I having some sort of medical episode? As I crested the hill, I glanced at the tree line over the back of the cemetery, looking for a bird or any kind of movement.
I saw something and looked away. When I looked back, there were two children standing by the tree line. They stood side by side, arms hanging down and not moving. They were wearing grayish colored clothing, and one had a dress on, the other a shirt, trousers, and a hat. I thought to myself, that's weird. What are those kids doing there? And who do they belong to? I've never seen them in the neighborhood, and after looking back on the road to watch where I was going, I glanced to where the children were standing, and they were gone. Vanished. Nothing there but empty space. When I looked back to the road in disbelief, I was already parked in my driveway. Wait, what? How did I get here, I thought. I was just driving past the cemetery. I sat there trying to imagine what could have happened. I just lost a few minutes of time, and I shook my head, got out of the car, and gathered my belongings. I made my way to the front door, still confused. I noticed everything seemed so loud now. Cars whizzing through the neighborhood, birds squawking and flapping their wings. Things seemed back to normal pace, but I was still confused by it. I made my way inside and put things away and started supper. The next day, I was coming home from work and turned down the same road by the cemetery. Remembering what happened yesterday, I slowed down to look at the tree line. Cars were driving by me, music playing in my car, birds flying, everything was moving as normal. When I looked towards the tree line, I saw no children this time. I thought, what was it I saw yesterday? I know I saw it, didn't I? I pulled into my driveway and started to get out. I looked across my front yard and noticed something red. I couldn't quite see what it was, and I went over to look at it. It was a red ball, about half the size of a volleyball. I didn't recognize it, but I knew it wasn't mine. I leaned closer to have a look and pick it up, and saw the words "help" scribed across it in crayon. Whose is this? I know there aren't any kids directly around my house, but must have come from somewhere. I looked around and saw no one. I didn't know what to do, so I left it there. Who was I going to call and tell? The words "help" written across a ball, whilst creepy, actually doesn't mean anything. So I just went into my house and shut the door. I stayed there with the blinds pulled all night watching TV, admittedly quite freaked out by it all. The next evening, I was at home putting dishes away after supper when I noticed the lights start to flicker in my kitchen. I thought the bulbs were about to go, so I decided to switch off the lights and wait a few seconds, and that's when I inexplicitly heard a giggle in the room. I flicked the light back on and slowly scanned the kitchen, thinking to myself, did I actually just hear that? Slowly, I moved back to the sink and finished what I was doing. Honestly, quite freaked out. It was really weird. Well, after that, I went to the living room to settle for the evening and watch some TV. After a while, there was a knock at the door. Odd. I wasn't expecting anyone. So I went there and looked out the window, but didn't see a soul. Because I have privacy glass on the door, though, it did mean I couldn't quite see clearly, so I decided to open it. There wasn't anyone there. I heard the giggle again, but this time it was behind me. I quickly turned around, my back to the dining room. And I thought I saw a shadow head down the hallway. I slammed my door shut and walked with purpose to that room and looked down the hall. I thought my eyes must be playing tricks on me as there was nothing there. And where was this giggling coming from? Honestly, I could swear I heard it. I headed back to the living room to watch some more TV. Honestly, quite shaken up. After a bit of time, I realized the show I was watching sounded like people were talking, almost like they're pitched down and a bit slower than usual. I was playing around my phone and not quite paying attention, so it took me a while to realize. But I looked up at the TV and the color changed. It was almost black and white now, and the people were hardly moving. I changed the channel, but the other channels were all the same. Then the lights began to get dim. I could barely see except for the black and white screen of the TV. I heard giggling again on my left, and then on my right, and behind me, and in front of me. I jumped off my chair and started running around the house. Where were these sounds coming from? My heart started to pound with fright. It was these sounds, as if they were chasing me, swirling around me. I shouted, "What's happening? Is there someone here? Who is this?" But the sounds, they went muted again like I was underwater. I stood back, and in the living room, all of a sudden, the doorbell rang. I turned towards the door, staring. I didn't know what to do. I was frozen and too scared to move. The light's still dim. Everything seemed slow. What was happening? Who was at my door so late at night? Is it who I could hear walking around the house, laughing? That sound. That muffled sound. I made my way to the door, turned on the porch light. I opened the door slowly. There before me were two children standing on my porch. I managed to mutter out, "Yes?" They didn't say anything. I said it louder and a bit more stern. "Yes, can I help you?" They stayed quiet. I thought, who are these kids and where are their parents? Who lets their children out so late at night? At that point, I took notice of the dress that one was wearing. The other, a shirt, trousers, and a hat. The clothing was grayish colored. Finally, the girl spoke up and said, "Can we come in? We're scared." So I replied, "Where are your parents?" And the boy simply answered, "Away." I looked at them again, and this time made eye contact. Their eyes, they were different, dark, solid. The lack of movement was unnerving. Something wasn't right. My heart started pounding faster and faster. In a panic, I said, "No, I'm sorry, I can't help you," and slammed the door shut and locked it. I double locked it. I made sure they weren't getting in. I took a few steps back and stumbled to the floor. I sat upright to get my bearings, and still in the dim light, there in front of me was a red ball with the word scribbled, "Help," in crayon across it.
What a spooky story. Of course, like I said earlier, that is our Halloween special for this season. Ding Dong, which was sent in by Nicole. Nicole, again, thank you so much for sending it. I do enjoy reading your stories. They're always absolutely fantastic. And for that one, it's one of the reasons it's one of my favorites is we did those random bit of those random soundscapes and stuff in the lead up to the Halloween episode, and everything was very much ingrained in our intros to the podcast, you know, the nursery rhymes and stuff like that. And this story fit very well with that kind of theming. And I used a lot of the similar sound effects within the story that I used from the three soundscapes beforehand, and also the intros and outros to the podcast. You'll recognize a lot of the sounds from the music box and stuff like that we use for the intro to the podcast. So yeah, you'll also notice I'm actually down a guest right now, so Zach's now gone to bed. We recorded the intro to this special before dinner. Dinner time came around, and he's no longer available. As much as he'd like to be down here recording with me, I wouldn't be doing my fatherly duties if he wasn't going to sleep. But that's fine. The next episode we're going to play, so the second most popular of the season, is from podcast regular Janine of Janine's Ghost Stories, and she actually released a book this year, which I highly recommend checking out. It's called Twisted, and it's really good, and it's been really well received, and people have really, I've not heard anything bad about it at all. It's I recommend it, especially if you like her stories on here. Now this one is called Night Shift, and she said it's kind of based on her experiences. She is a ex-police officer, and it's based on some of her experiences whilst on duty. So it's a pretty cool one, a bit different. We don't get many police officers write in. If you are working in any, you know, armed forces, or if you're a fire person, police, anything, send a story in. We want some more like this because they're a bit different and pretty interesting. So yeah, I'm going to leave it at that. sit back and enjoy our second most popular story of season 7, Night Shift.
When I was a police officer, we often got called out to alarms when we were on night shifts. During my probation shift, I was stationed in the middle of the countryside, and the station itself was said to be haunted, especially the old part where the cells used to be. I never saw anything there, but I often felt a sense of unease if I was in that part of the building, particularly alone at night. There were several stately homes and large properties in our area that needed checking on. If you've ever visited one of those National Trust type places in daylight, let me tell you, in the middle of the night when they're dark and empty, they take on a whole different atmosphere. As a cop, I've seen more dead bodies and met more unsavoury people than most. I've been assaulted, found material that I would willfully never speak of again. But nothing ever frightened me as much as the day when we were called out to an alarm at an old farmhouse, right in the depths of the surrounding fields. The owners, some well-off folk who'd never farmed a day in their lives but likely retired there after a stressful city life, were away, so there was a possibility of an intruder chancing his luck. It was more likely a fault in their system, but we had to check, and thus far that particular night we hadn't had many call-outs. We weren't worried as we stuck the lights on and drove over to the premises. I wasn't expecting it to be quite so pitch black when we got there. The security outside lights were all out. There must have been some sort of power cut which had tripped the alarm. We carried our maglite torches, and for some reason I kept my hand on my ASP just in case. We were more likely to encounter a nosy cow than a would-be burglar, but I definitely felt uneasy. My partner wasn't feeling it, however. He was a veteran, been in the job 20 years, preferred an easy life. He felt there was nothing there, waste of our time. Said let's just do a quick perimeter check anyway and be sure to report back it was all clear. He enjoyed winding me up and could tell that I was a bit on edge, so he decided that I should go and check out the old stable area where there was now a pool and a hot tub, whilst he checked all the entrances were secure. I didn't like it, but as a cop, you have to do these things. So off I trotted with my torch and pepper spray by my side. Of course, the area by the pool, which was thankfully covered so I didn't fall in, was even darker than up by the house, which at least had that beam of light from the car headlights to illuminate it slightly. Down here, it was difficult to even see my hand in front of my face. My radio was crackling, making me jump. My heart was pounding, but I was desperately trying to convince myself that I was the big tough copper and there was nothing to be scared of. Just as I got to the area where the stables were, they'd kept the building, which I believe was now used as a changing area. It suddenly got deathly cold. I was used to a nip in the air, and I had my police fleece on under my body armour, but it was like being in a morgue. If I could have been able to see a damn thing, I swear you could see my breath. It was completely and utterly silent, too. By now, I couldn't even hear my colleague pottering around back at the main house. Even my radio had stopped making that annoying static sound. I intuitively knew that there was something in the stables. I was frozen to the spot, unable to radio my partner to suggest that I might need assistance. That was when I heard it. A noise, unlike anything else that I've ever heard before, and I pray to God that I never hear it again. I knew in an instant it was not of this world. The only way I could describe it to you now was like, something from the pits of hell. It rose to what I could swear was a howl, and I legged it. I ran as fast as I could up to my partner, who was sat in the car waiting for me. He took one look at me and he said, "Was it the stables?" I nodded, unable to say a word, and he put his foot on the accelerator whilst reporting to the communication room that the job was done. On the way back to the base, he looked over at me and he told me a little story. About 50 years ago, the farmer who lived there at the time caught his wife having relations with the young farmhand. He was so heartbroken and ashamed, he'd blown his head off in that stable, but not before slitting his wife's throat and stabbing the boy repeatedly in the chest.
What a fantastic spooky story. But to be honest, I really expect no else from Janine. Her stories she sends in are always brilliant. So Janine, thank you so much for that. If you have any more, make sure to ping them over and we'll get them into season 8. And listeners, don't forget to check out Janine's book called Twisted. It's available on Amazon, or if you search for Janine's Ghost Stories, or I also believe she has an author page of Janine Pipe on Facebook. You can find her there and you'll be able to get details. Tell her Ghost Stories the podcast sent you. Anyway, on to our final story and the most popular one of this season of the podcast. Now, I think it's telling that my wife Lucy gets asked to read stories every now and then when they're sent in, because the top two stories of this season in terms of listeners were both read by her. And so this one is Don't Go in the Closet, sent in by Katie. And it was actually the first episode of the season, so I've not really gone any deeper to kind of make the selection of these fair. It's probably got the most listens because it was the first episode of the season as well. So let's not kid ourselves there. But that's fine. It's another brilliant story, and I hope you enjoy it. If you've not heard it before, you're in for a treat. So I'm gonna leave it at that. I won't say too much more, but I will be back in a moment. This is Don't Go in the Closet.
Back in 1983, when I was 10 years old, my family was forced to move from an apartment because the building was being sold. My parents decided it'd be best to purchase a single family home. We'd had some difficulty finding a home in our price range, so my parents ended up settling on a home about a mile from our apartment on the northwest side of Chicago. It wasn't in perfect condition, but it was large enough for our family. On the day of the scheduled closing of the mortgage loan in September, the garage burnt down, which meant we were unable to close because the bank had to do sort of safety issues and sort all that out before they could complete the loan, so the new closing date ended up being scheduled for Halloween. Initially, my sisters and I were excited to have our own home. However, we quickly became uncomfortable in the house and we never felt very safe. The upstairs had 3 bedrooms and a bathroom for my sisters and I. The bathroom had a door which led up to the attic, which had no solid floor, just insulation and beams. We found it pretty odd that the attic door had a sliding lock on it, and we didn't really understand why anyone would want to lock the door. That is, until the day we came home from school, while our parents were still at work, and we found the attic door wide open. We kept that door locked, yet we frequently found the door wide open. Occasionally I'd hear loud banging footsteps from the attic, which, as I mentioned before, had no solid floor. The upstairs also had a large closet that was the length of the house, but it was no wider than the door, so it was only 3 feet wide, but very, very long. The old door was swollen and would stick closed, so we were always careful to never close the door while inside. The closet didn't have any lighting or windows, so we tried to bring a flashlight with us whenever we had to go in. Frequently, when we would walk back into the closet, the door would slam shut on us, leaving us to have to push and push on the door to finally open it. Once, while my sister was alone in the room, the closet door just flew open for no apparent reason and gave her quite the scare. On the first level, things like keys would often go missing, only to be found in a different area of the house later. And one night, I had a friend over. We were watching this TV program about a school of performing arts, and in this particular episode, the play they were performing was haunted by an actress who died before being able to perform in the play years ago. A teacher called out while walking on the stage, "If there is a spirit here with me now, show a sign." And at that very moment, all of the lights in the upstairs of our house just went out, leaving us in total darkness. Needless to say, we ran down the stairs as quickly as we could, and we were even more frightened when my mother told us that all the lights upstairs weren't even on the same circuit breaker, yet they all seemed to go out on the one command. One night, after my friend and I watched Nightmare on Elm Street for about the 10th time, my mother asked us to put some odds and ends in the upstairs closet for her, to get them out of the way. Now in the back of the closet were some shelves and coat hooks, and in front of the closet was a bar for hanging clothing. As I said, the closet was so big, it felt like it just went on forever, and it always made me a bit nervous going in there. But my friend, knowing how I felt about it, urged me on. We opened the door, and it was pitch black with the light off. I slowly ran my hand along the wall in search of the light switch, and it clicked loudly as I turned it on. Guided by the light, we cautiously entered the closet, when we suddenly saw something fall off a hook in the back and the lights promptly went out. We looked at each other. I could only see the silhouette of my friend in the dark. And as we stood there in silence, we heard a growl. It sounded like a lion growling. Distant, but without a doubt, came from the back of the closet. My friend looked at me with clear panic in her voice and said, "That's just your dog, right?" "I don't have a dog," I replied. We dropped the boxes at the doorway and quickly made our way downstairs and refused to go back up there again. I lived in the house for about 8 years and I moved out when I turned 18. Throughout the years living there, I experienced frequent dreams that I was burning, as well as waking up from being hit in the face when I was all alone. I've never experienced anything like that again since moving out from that home. It was an awful place and my parents eventually sold it and moved out of the state. I have so many questions. And in some ways, I'd like to go back and see if it was all real. I believe it was, but I'd like to think it was all coincidence.
And that's another great example of a listener's story. Katie, thank you so much for sending that in. Of course, that was the episode that kicked off season 7 of the podcast. 7 seasons. Wow, imagine that. And it's again, I've got to say a heartfelt thank you to all you listeners. We wouldn't be here without you. It's seeing the numbers of people that tune in each week is just mind-boggling and is one of the reasons it keeps me going, even when it's difficult or a lot of work. It's not like I'm getting paid for this. It's very much a hobby. So I do appreciate the way you all help by sending in stories and subscribing to Patreon. It really means the world to me. So season 8, we've got a ton of stories sent in. I've got so much to work through over the coming days, but I'm really excited to get started. Yeah, there's some great stories for me to record. More requests for Lucy to record as well. Surprise, surprise. But yeah, so what I want you to do, I'm not going to say to subscribe, like, review, or even go to Patreon. I said that all earlier. What I'd like you all to do is just be ready to tune in next week. And if you think of a story, make sure to ping it over, because more than likely I'll include it at one point in the next season of the podcast. So that's it for me this week. I think I'm going to end it right there. And I'll see you all soon. Don't stop asking.
Do you believe in ghosts?